Okay. Lonnie, would you want to open us in prayer this morning, young fellow?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to gather and study your word. We thank you for this facility. We thank you for your freedom, Father. We ask that you bless the everyone in this room, Father. Bless the teachers, instructors. Bless this service, Father. Yes, your hand be upon this service.
Yes, Lord.
With by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this service.
Yes, Lord.
That your will be done. We give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Psalm 34, verses 12, I think, as we left off at 34:11. We did 34:11, and we're on 34:12 right now. And Betty, would you like to read 12 and 13? I think those two kind of go together, actually, instead of just taking them one at a time.
Okay.
12 and 13.
What man is he that desireth life? Now, I don't have my amplified.
That's okay. Fine.
What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile.
Whoa. Yeah, I think verse 13 kind of answers the question of verse 12 there. The Amplified says, what man is he who desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? And then it goes right on to say, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. It's almost like he's saying, if you desire life, mm-hmm. and that's the question here too. What kind of life are we talking about there? You know, as I looked up that particular word, it said, interesting enough, it said green. Yeah, and how do you remember the picture that we took of Missy one time? She had that green glow over her, and we were kind of looking around to see what the color green meant, and I think, Oscar, do you know anything about the color green? I thought that the color green meant life.
I would think it would mean life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I looked up the definition of it, what man is it that desires life? It said green, and it said flowing, and reviving of the springtime was another definition that it used to describe what type of life that was. So I think what the Lord here is not necessarily talking about just a good life with finances in our bank account and a nice home to live in, but I think he's talking about the man that desires the life, the Zoe life, to be in a relationship with God, and loveth many days that he may see good. And even the definition of that word good there means agreeable. I think that's kind of what Doug Fortune was either talking about last night or is going to be talking about this morning, is to be in agreement with God. But the definition of the word good there meant to be agreeable, of good understanding, and listen to this, pleasant to the higher nature. Wow. That's amazing what some of these words mean, isn't it? When you actually look up the definition of them, it just seems like it gives you so much more of a spiritual depth. How we doing, Kath? Gives you so much more of a spiritual depth as to what the Spirit is trying to say. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to get the husk off of this thing. We're trying to get the wheat out of the Word here this morning instead of just taking it in the natural, you know? Mm-hmm. Praise God, because that's where the real life is. It's the Zoe life that we're looking for, not the Suke. You know, we got enough Suke. Sometimes we got too much Suke life. We need more Zoe life. Anybody have any comments on that? What man is he who desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? And it says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Now that's probably something that we could spend the rest of the Sunday school class talking about, is keeping your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. I think in 1 Peter, where was it? 1 Peter 3:10. It's fascinating how the New Testament echoes and uses the Old Testament so much. In 1 Peter 3:10, Peter says, "He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." But that's interesting how the apostles were always quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. Peter basically is saying the very same thing. Well, he is quoting actually from Psalm 34 there, I would imagine. But it says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile." Anybody have anything to say about the tongue?
There's somewhere in the Bible it says it's such a sweet savor to the Lord, but yet it's also so, and I don't know what the word
wicked
is.
Wicked and evil. What, the tongue? You're talking about the tongue?
Yeah. And it's somewhere, and I just read it this week somewhere, and my mind is...
In the book of James it talks
James,
about...
James, thank you. Oh, yeah, maybe it is James.
Yeah. In James it talks about it being like a rudder of a ship, mm-hmm. You know. Such a small thing, and it sets on fire, you know, in the course of the world or whatever, you know. And,
yeah, James 1:26. Actually, you're right, Oscar. The book of James has quite a bit to say about the tongue. 1:26 says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." Wow. And then James 3:5. He says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." Powerful.
Scripture also tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
Amen.
And, you know, that's why we have to be careful, because we have to realize God created everything by the spoken word. He said, "Let there be," and it was, you know. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, we have creative power by the things that we say, too. And, you know, we should learn to bless and curse not, you know.
Well, doesn't it say that no man can tame the tongue?
That's right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't be doing. I mean, we shouldn't be cursing our brothers and so on and so forth with our tongue and speaking evil and so on and so forth. So, you know, if man can't tame the tongue, basically what it's saying is you really can't tame your own tongue. I mean, we can try through our own carnal efforts. We can try, and that's a good thing, to, you know, to watch your mouth and what have you. But the only way that the tongue really gets tamed, or the only way that the tongue really brings forth life, like Brother Oscar was saying, was, doesn't the Bible say that out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Mm-hmm. So the tongue is only going to bring forth what is in down deep inside of our heart. Mm-hmm. Amen. So again, that's the reason why it's so important to seek the face of the Lord, to look at the Lord, to become like the Lord, to take on everything really that we already have inside of us. Mm-hmm. It's already finished at Calvary.
It's already finished, yeah.
It's just that we have to see the finished work. And I think that that's the hour that we're in right now too.
Yes.
I really believe that the hour that we're in right now is God is starting to apprehend the people to see the finished work, what was accomplished on Calvary. Brother Doug last night was talking about how when John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, was taken up in the Spirit in the day of the Lord, and one of the first things that John did was he looked behind him. And the Lord is showing me that as he is bringing a people up in this day of the Lord that we've entered into, he's got us looking back to Calvary.
Yes.
That's the first thing he wants us to do, is to look back to Calvary and to take a fresh and a new look at exactly what was accomplished at Calvary. When Paul ministered, he said, I don't preach anything except Jesus Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. Mm-hmm. And that gospel is the power unto salvation, or unto the completeness of your salvation. And so I just been constantly going back to see what the Lord accomplished at Calvary, because whatever he accomplished, it's finished. He said that. So he put the old man to death. The old man was buried. Our old man has been buried. And now, you know, we're a new creation man. And somehow I'm working on trying to get the full revelation of the fact that Jim Wilson is dead. Betty's dead, okay? We're dead. If you're in Christ, you're dead. And that's what Paul, I think that's what Paul was trying to say to the church then, is reckon yourself dead. You know, just because we make a little mistake here and there, don't focus on the mistake, because you're dead, okay? You got to divorce yourself from that old man before you can take on a new husband. And this is really what God has really been burning into my heart in this hour. You've got to put off your old man that you've been living with all those years in sin, because he's dead, and you've got to put on the new man. But before, in our minds, before we can take on Christ as our new husband, we got to kick the old man out of the house. Okay, but we keep living with the old man. You know, he just keeps hanging around. Those ghosts just keeps hanging around.
The fear,
you know?
I'm worthless. I don't
That's
have
right.
anything.
Amen.
I'm reading a book right now that Driven Purpose.
Yeah, The Purpose-Driven Life.
And my sister gave me The Nook. So believe it or not, on The Nook, when you read it, there's actually a study Bible section of it. And it's like nice. Rick Warren actually discussing it, like, it's not about you.
Amen. That's right.
It's about living for Christ and quit living in your past, because if so many people, and he was giving statistics about it, if so many people read this book, then how come it hasn't changed their lives? Well, then how come are we still living in sin? How come we still aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that's living for Christ? Why are we still going back to our old nature, and yet, well, then you need to get reborn again, or you need to...
Mm-hmm.
You know, revive yourself.
Right. Go on to the completion of your salvation, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's even more than living for Christ. Mm-hmm. It's letting Christ live through us.
Yes. That's right.
And that way it takes all the effort out of it. Yes. It takes the bondage out of it. It takes the condemnation, because if I'm trying to live for him, there's nothing wrong with that. We all do want to try and live for the Lord. But every time I fall or I sin or I miss the mark or whatever, then again this weight of sin is on me, because, gee, I'm trying to live for you, God. But, you know, Paul had the revelation. He understood the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in his flesh. And, you know, and it was Paul, whenever Paul fell short of the glory, he just said, it's not I that liveth anymore. It's like he refused to take that burden on. You know, from the memory of that old man, it's not I that liveth anymore, but it's Christ that liveth in me, or Christ that's living through me. And I really believe in this hour, that is the revelation that God is trying to drive home to each and every one of us. You know, that the old man is dead. Stop focusing on him, or, you know, whenever you feel like you're starting to get those emotions stirred up of condemnation, oh, geez, I swore to God I'd never do that again, and here I did, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you meet so many dear people that really, they know the Lord, and let me put it to you this way. They really have a heart toward God, but their head is so screwed up.
Yes, yes.
Do you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. They really have a heart toward God, mm-hmm. but their heads are screwed up mm-hmm. by a bunch of doctrines that they've embraced over the years in the church. Mm-hmm. But praise God, it's finished. Right, Doug? Praise the Lord.
When I read that, keep your tongue from evil, a couple of things keep going through my mind, like what you're saying. Dead tongues don't speak.
Mm-hmm.
to make to be good for nothing. Well, if your tongue is speaking things that are good for nothing and only spoiling by breaking to pieces, then you're not speaking life. You're not speaking Zoe.
Right, right.
So dead tongues don't speak. And I just kind of remembered about when Jesus was, when people came to him to test him, quite often he said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mm-hmm. wrote in the ground or he did something. Mm-hmm. If God doesn't tell you what to say, don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anything. We don't even know in our brain what is evil. We don't know what's going to bring forth life and bring forth death.
No, that's
out
true.
Of our carnal.
That's true. Yeah.
We might sometimes say something we think is good.
Right.
But it wasn't good for that situation at that time for that person.
Right.
So right. The opposite of speaking, to me, and I love this, is hold your peace. That's, by our vernacular, that means keep quiet. But it means a lot more than
mm-hmm.
that. It means hold your peace.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to the peace of God until he gives you
mm-hmm.
what to say. Lord, let that be. I mean, I'm saying it, but not out of my own experience.
James tells us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with us coming into the perfect law of liberty in Christ. Because when we're swift to hear, we're saying, Lord, let me listen and hear what's really being said in every situation. You know, Jesus, when somebody told him, when they would say something to him, he didn't just hear what they said, but he really heard what
mm-hmm.
they said.
Yes.
You know, he was able to get right down to the crux of where
right.
they were. And he was able to minister to them on the level where they really needed it. And I think with us, if we'll pray, and, you know, a lot of times, if we're not careful, if we just say the first thing that pops off the top of our head, we really blew it, you know. But if we'll get quiet and still and go to the end and say, Lord, what would you have me reply if you would have me reply? Then when you speak, you're going to speak words of life and words of encouragement and words that will help somebody, you know.
In other words, women, submit to your husbands. The soul.
Soul.
Submit to the husband.
Right.
Now, another thing too, Kathy, on the definition of evil there, 7451 in Strong's, it says disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is disagreeable, and I was thinking about, you know, that is the old man. He's not in agreement with the Lord, okay? The new man is in agreement with the Lord, but the evil man or the old man is very disagreeable, displeasing. My translation even said worse than worst.
Worse than worst.
Yeah, it does come from a root word, Kathy, you're right. To break, to be broken, to afflict and harm evil. How do you even know the difference between good and evil?
There is a way that seemeth right unto
man. Well, I don't think we're supposed to judge good and evil. That's how we got in trouble to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We ate of the tree of that knowledge. And really what we need to do is acknowledge God in all situations,
mm-hmm.
in all
yes.
circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
leave the good and evil stuff to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Well, aren't there, there's kind of like two dimensions. I mean, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, you know, you got the Zoe life up here, and then you got the Suke life down here. Yeah, you're right. It does go all the way back to the...
When you say Zoe
garden.
Life, what is that, the agape love? Because I
God's
only think
life,
of
yeah.
agape, not... I've never heard of Zoe.
Yeah.
Well, agape is love, Zoe is life.
Oh.
The life of God. When you were born again,
okay.
you took on
the Zoe,
yeah.
When
yeah.
it talks about the life, usually of Christ, it almost always uses the word Zoe, the Greek word Zoe.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, when it talks about our life, a lot of times it uses the word Suke, which is the word soul. That's where they translate it, soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a scripture says, he that loves his life will lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake, you know, keeping a life eternal. basically. I'm kind of paraphrasing there, but the life it's talking about really losing is your soulish life. You're willing to lay your soulish life down that you might receive his Zoe life.
And how are you spelling it?
Z-O-E.
Z-O-E.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Zoe.
There's two primary words that are used in the New Testament for life. One is psuche, from which we get our word psyche.
Mm-hmm.
That's the life. The difference is the origin, really.
Mm-hmm.
The origin
of you draw
psyche
from.
Is human. The origin of Zoe life is it's God's life.
Spiritual life.
His life being lived in through us.
Right.
And the difference really is self.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because Adam wasn't intrinsically evil. He was just intrinsically selfish.
Right.
You know, everything, you know, that was the carnal nature. I'm going to operate out of my nature, you know, instead of God's nature.
Which was disagreeable to God's nature.
Not in agreement with God. Absolutely.
And that goes back, Doug, to what you were ministering on last night, was in order for us to come into, or to have more of this life revealed to us, because I believe that the fullness of that life is already in us, in our spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
yes.
Christ in us.
Yes.
It's a mystery, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
That's the hope of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the glory, it's the hope of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, that, again, that we're in an hour where the glory's coming.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I believe that we're in an hour where the glory's coming. I mean, you could say, well, you know, the church over the years has seen God's glory. There's been many great moves and revivals and so on and so forth. But I believe that there's a move of God that's coming, like Isaiah said, you know, in the vision he saw the glory of the Lord was filling the earth as the waters covered the sea. And I believe that we are in that hour when the glory of the Lord is literally going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And frankly, if God, I believe, if he would open our eyes right now, we would be able to see the glory of the Lord covering the earth right now. If we had the spiritual vision, you know, like Isaiah opened up Gehazi or whatever that servant's name was, Lord showing there's a whole lot more with us than there is with the bad guys.
Yeah.
And God opened up Gehazi's eyes and he saw, oh my God, the forces of God far outnumber the enemy. I'm
excited
about the coming glory. Praise God. Where were we here?
14 there.
13, 14. Okay, the old tongue. So, again, you know, if you want to tame the tongue, it really has to be tamed by the Spirit. Yeah. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And I think that's where we get in so much problem with our tongue. You know, we just, you know, spit it out there in a very untimely fashion instead of, like Brother Oscar said, go within, wait on the Lord. And that's another great secret. Praise God that, again, Brother Doug's trying to bring to the church here, I think, this weekend, is this secret of intimacy with the Lord.
Yes.
The secret of intimacy, of going within, of spending time with the Lord. And, man, the Spirit of the Lord, I really, really feel, is calling the church into an intimate relationship with him at this time.
Yes.
And, you know, I fear that right now in this hour, the church is more into basically good works than they are in actually going into that secret place with God.
Yes.
and finding out what it is that the Lord is saying to them. I think as long as I'm digging wells in Africa and I'm feeding the poor and over the Rhine and I'm painting houses and stuff like that, those are all good works. But I think in this hour, we can't stand on our good works. You know, it's got to be his works.
Our works is filthy rags, I think the Bible put it.
Yes.
And we
got to come into that intimate place with God.
Yes. Yes.
What was it? Kelly Varner used to say, intimacy. Is he the one you said, or was it you? It was you? Okay, I didn't know if I heard that from Kelly or from you.
I stole it from somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Intimacy. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Jim, I was going to share this poem.
Absolutely.
That gave me this poem in 2012, and it's called Intimacy with God. And it goes like this. Come away, my love, into an intimate place, where I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. As you are wrapped in the warmth of my enfolding love, in quietness and stillness you will rise above and sit with me in that heavenly place where you will begin to see me face to face. And a change will happen as I give you my life, a change of names as you become my wife. And my glory and love will break forth from your heart, bringing all to repentance and even a new start. For surely, as you spend precious time with me, I will show you my plan for eternity. For my Father expressed his wondrous love when he sent me his Son from above. For I've redeemed mankind from the wages of sin, that he might come into being instead of an end.
That's good.
Yes.
That's
so good. Yes.
We need about 30 copies of that. Who wants a copy of that poem?
Yes, I
do.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll make you some copies of it.
Yes. Yes.
And if you buy 10 copies now.
You get one free.
Yeah. Get that with Alani.
Alani's going to be my agent.
Will you throw a prick off in there?
Psalm 34, verse 14. And tell us what all that means.
Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Yes.
Pursue it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Seek peace and pursue it.
Now, Kathy, the definition there on evil, it says, in general of person of thoughts. Disagreeable, not in agreement, and malignant. But I kind of like that. But whatever that means. In general, of person, of thoughts.
Doesn't that
what
get you in trouble?
That's it?
Amen. That's
right.
See, the word good there says agreeable again, pleasant to the higher nature. Pleasant to the higher nature.
That does need good. To be pursued in this life and where we are today. Mm-hmm. The only way you're going to keep that is to pursue it constantly.
Yes.
Because it's mm-hmm. not easily attained.
And I think that's what the Lord meant when he said strive to enter into rest.
Yes.
And I think that that was the striving he was talking about. I don't think the Lord was talking about strive with sin necessarily, but just strive to come into that place with the Lord of intimacy, because I think as we start keep drilling down deeper and deeper and we finally strike oil, we're going to find out that this is already finished. It's already been accomplished, and it's all in him. It's all focusing on him. And it just seems like everything else is a distraction. I heard a minister here recently that was talking about, you know, the plans and the dreams that you have, the vision that you have, continue to pursue it. God's a big God, so on and so forth. And I wish they would start prefacing that a little bit more with the dream that the Lord gives you, not necessarily your dreams, because it kind of comes across to me, and maybe I'm misunderstanding a lot of these ministries, but it comes across to me like it's a soulish dream. You know, he was talking about, in some case, a very successful businessman that acquired tremendous wealth and how he focused on this certain industry, and he never lost his focus on he was going to own this and he was going to own that, and he was using this man as an example as to if you focus on something hard enough and long enough, you will have it. And I was thinking to myself, oh God, if me and as the people of God could understand, yeah, if you focus on something hard enough, you'll have it. And it's like the Lord is saying, focus on me, you know.
Yes.
And all the while this minister's talking, I'm thinking, don't look to the seen, but to the unseen. And it's like everything,
glory to God.
the minister was talking about was looking to the things that were seen instead of unseen. And I'm thinking to myself, dear Lord, how are we going to get the body, the church's attention off of all these crazy visions that they're producing? And a lot of the ministries have got these people digging their heels and don't let anybody take this vision away from you. You know, but again, it's earthly visions, it's power, it's wealth, it's, you know. But if we would exert that kind of energy, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but if we would exert that kind of energy in striving to know the Lord,
yes,
and in a depth to know God that we've never known Him before, then and only then are we going to start seeing the Christ manifested in this earth. And we are in an hour of manifestation, and that's the reason why brothers like Doug Fortune, again, are bringing this message of intimacy. Because that's the only way the glory of God is going to be revealed in the church, is through intimacy with Him. It's got to be His life flowing out through us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You're right.
Glory to God.
It says if you want to do good, then seek and pursue it. Well, what is the it that He's talking about? You know, to the New Testament saying the it, as far as I'm concerned, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you want to depart from evil and do good, and there's none good except God, Jesus said. So if you want to walk and live a godly life, you've got to seek peace, to be in agreement with God, to be at peace with the Lord, and understand that we're already at peace with God, and not wrestle always trying to be at peace with God.
Yes.
And that's another big lie, you know? We don't have to wrestle. You know, I love it when Paul said, and I never saw this till about a week ago, where Paul says, you've already been reconciled to God, and then he says, now be ye reconciled. In other words, he's saying, I want you to come to the understanding that you're already reconciled with God. God's already reconciled to you. It's just that we got to get this guy up here to understand what has already taken place in that death and that burial and that resurrection. We died with Him. We were buried with Him. And now we're going to be resurrected with Him in this third day. It's already done. But I can't tell myself that enough, because it's like the Lord keeps saying, keep telling yourself that, son. Understand that. Come to that revelation knowledge that you no longer live. It is I that liveth through you.
Can I read this out of, this is 1 John chapter 3, and this is out of the J.B. Phillips. It says, consider the incredible love that the Father has shown us, allowing us to be called the children of God. And that is not just what we are called, but what we are. Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no more recognize us than it recognized Christ. Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized that here and now we are God's children? We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect His likeness, for we should see Him as He really is. And that's what Jim's basically saying. Reality has to break through.
Amen, amen.
And when we come to the realization of this and come to the reality of what Christ's finished work is,
amen,
then we're closer to this thing than we've ever imagined.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. And the word peace there, Kath, in that 14th verse means completeness. Man, I love that. Means completeness and soundness in body and health and prosperity and peace from war. That's powerful. Completeness. That's powerful. So depart from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. And that's what we're talking about, going on to perfection, going on to completeness in the Lord.
You know, I had a dream last night. For some reason, I feel like it. I was away on a trip, like for a year or so, and it was time to come home, to move on, to go on to a new thing, and I had accumulated so much stuff, and it was time to move on, and I couldn't pack it all, and I couldn't decide what to get rid of, and I felt like the Lord was saying to me, it's time to move on, but you have to let go of the old.
have to let go of our old way of thinking.
Amen.
We have to let go of our law, the law. What's right? What's wrong? This isn't fair. That don't pack that stuff and take it with you into the new day.
Amen.
That's right. We have to let it all go. I'm getting goosebumps
Amen.
Right now just saying.
That's good preaching.
It finally is, we can't drag the old man
Amen.
Along with us into the new day.
You can't marry the new man.
He has to die.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't take on the new husband until the old husband's dead.
You can't bring your junk.
Amen.
Amen. You can't bring it with you.
Amen.
It has to die.
Last week I read off this scratch paper here what a brother said. He said he walked into a church service that was, the anointing was tremendously powerful. This was a minister, and he said, God spoke to my heart and said, I can't fill you with what you need until you empty yourself of what you have.
Lord, hallelujah.
And that's exactly what you're saying there, Kat. That was right on target, babe. That's very good. I can't fill you with what you need until you empty yourself of
what
you have.
My dream, a gun hidden away for my protection. And I thought, I'm never going to get this back into the country. What am I going to do with it? The Lord's telling you, let go of my war.
Yeah.
Let go of my getting even. You have to let go of all that. I'm thinking, what was I doing with a gun? It was under my pillow. I slept with it every night. And it was a foreign country. But it was a really, I knew when I woke up, it was strange, but I knew it was a spiritual dream.
That's good.
Praise God.
Wow.
That's what the Lord's saying to all of us.
Yes.
Put your gun down.
Yes. I'll do the fighting for you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Marge, you know what else I had? I had the gun, and I had hundreds of bottles of fingernail polish. And I thought, these things are $7 each.
That's more harmful than the gun.
It was a silly dream.
Yes,
Lord, thank you. God is speaking. Yes.
Well, I guess the spirit doesn't need toenail polish, huh?
God's got a sense of humor. Thank you, Lord.
Well, what are those things that God wants us to empty ourselves of, I guess?
Yes.
What is it, Doug? Tell us.
I'm good on the fingernail.
Check his coat for a weapon. You didn't say anything about your gun, did you? You got a concealed carry permit, I know.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm proud of us this morning. I didn't think we'd get beyond 14, but we did, and I'm out.
Yes.
You're on, brother.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Praise you, God.
Praise God.
Well, the one thing about, about what you said about peace, we know that in the Beatitudes it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God or children of God. And, one time years ago, I was a union steward in a shop years ago. And, I was a Christian. And we were trying to get some sickness and accident insurance. And this was actually before the union got in. Actually, it was before the union was actually in there. And I only got involved with it because everybody kept coming and saying, we think you'll be honest and you won't, you won't just look out for yourself and all this kind of stuff, which was nice, that they said that. But I think it was really that they wanted me to lose my job rather than them.
You go. Send him, Lord.
But anyway, I was standing there, and these two guys over in another department, which was right next to me, they were fussing about this accident insurance that we were trying to get. And they were going back and forth, and they were getting pretty heated. heated, and the one guy had a really, really bad temper, you know. And I was thinking, man, this is going to get out of hand, you know. So I felt like I should go over there, and I walked over there, and I told him, I said, look, guys, I said, don't fuss about this. I said, we don't even know if this is going to happen. You know, this is just something we're checking into, you know. We'll see if it happens, if it does. Fine, if it doesn't, that's okay, too. You know, well, about that time, the guy behind me wrecked his machine. And he threw a shaft out about 3 foot long, and it came down and landed right where I would have been standing.
Jeez, oh, Michael.
So I probably would have been killed.
Yeah, jeez.
So that scripture, blessed are the peacemakers, has special meaning to me. if I had went over there to try to create some peace there, I might not have been here today, you know. But, you know, God knows, you know. And truly, that's what we should be in all situations. We should try to be peacemakers and not be trying to stir things up, you know, unless God wants us to stir something up.
Oh, we'll let him start up.
That's right. Well, he is the Prince of Peace, and we have to realize that nature inside of us will want to speak peace to situations rather than, you know, I like what Jesus said when he was in the boat with, you know, he stood up and said, peace, be still. And Doug mentioned that last night. And you know, to be honest with you, when we find ourselves in situations, we need to speak peace into the situation.
Yes.
And I think we would be surprised sometimes how much the situation would change, and if not the situation, our attitude toward it. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, Doug, were you saying last evening, was the Lord speaking peace to the disciples and the storm calmed down, or was he speaking peace to the storm?
I think he was speaking to the storm.
Okay.
Although it probably would help to speak peace to them too. They were freaking out. You know. You don't care for us.
The one thing I heard that you said last night, too, is that you sort of felt like he had to speak peace because they could have spoken and didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times we can speak peace to a situation.
Well, didn't he even say after that, it's like you
a little faith.
I mean, you don't even, I'm here with you and you still don't even have faith. And here they were in the presence.
Yeah.
It's like we have the glory of saying, well, we didn't see him, so we have to go by the unseen.
And that's the reason why.
And
that's the reason why Jesus left and went back to the Father. Because he knew that if he would have walked with them for the next 100 years, all their faith would have been in that physical man, Jesus.
Yes.
They would never have come to the revelation that they themselves were the temple of God.
Yes. Well, I was having this conversation last night, and they said, you know, and it's like, well, what would have happened if the Jews would have accepted him? And I said, well, by grace, thank goodness they did reject him, because we probably wouldn't be here today, because it would be all Jewish race, and you know what I mean? And we wouldn't have the glory of going home to him. And I couldn't explain it. I just didn't know how else to say it. I'm like, well, that's a good thing, because we're the Gentiles. We're the ones that he pardoned for us. And I didn't know how to explain it to this person. I thought, thank goodness they didn't like him, because now we're the chosen people. And, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know if we'd even be here then.
Everybody is a chosen person. When I was praying, God showed me, he says, I sent my son to die on the cross for everybody. And he does not want nobody to perish.
Right, but we're talking like in the beginning, where the Jewish were, if they weren't the law, and arguing with him, and let's just say they did accept him, and where would we be? You know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness, thank goodness they did reject him, because we wouldn't have that.
God would have worked it out.
Well, actually, I believe he knew that they would reject him.
Yes.
That was part of the plan, because even scripture tells us that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly in circumcision of the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly in circumcision of the heart.
Uncircumcised, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, we've been circumcised of the heart, not necessarily in the flesh. And to be honest with you, the Jews are going to be saved. They're going to have to say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, like he said.
Yes.
And guess who's going to come in the name of the Lord?
Amen.
The Gentiles.
Amen.
the real Jews, the Jews yeah. that have been circumcised in their heart, because they're going to, well, a Savior's going to come out of Mount Zion, Saviors, not a Savior, Saviors, and the Saviors is going to be his body, the body of Christ.
Yes.
And, you know, yes. Jesus did the work, but we're going to implement it as we move up into the fullness of what he has for us to do.
Lisa, God's got a big plan. It even says that he penned them up in unbelief. I mean, the Lord took the nation of Israel and blinded
friend.
Their eyes.
Yeah.
He blinded their
Jewish
eyes.
Friend. I sit there and I'm like, I can't have this discussion with you. I can't, because she, you know, she's like, well, Jesus, he's just a man to us. I'm like, okay, well, then leave a measure of man in your eyes, because he's more than that to me. So I didn't, and it's just heartbreaking to try to give somebody somewhat of the gospel, but it's like, it's almost like they're...
Pray for them.
Scripture tells you there's been a veil placed over their heart.
Yes.
And until God removes the veil, you can't remove the veil. Only God can.
Right.
Yes.
You know, but doesn't mean you can't witness to them if the opportunity comes up. But
but to try and, you know, to not argue with them, but try to give them
reason with them.
You know, the word, and it's like, well, it says, you know, well, who says it says? Oh, goodness. It's like, you know, it's very hard. So.
Brenda, do you want to dismiss us in prayer, young lady?
Yes. Thank you. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship. We thank you for the precious word that is going forth. Lord, let us take it to heart, my God. And we ask that you have your way in our lives, in the service. Just bless, Father, the word coming forth, the life that is being shared, and give us ears to hear and to